Hello, welcome back to Happy Horror Time. It has been a minute. You know, I think the world's changed since last time we did this. The world has changed for the good, and I mean, not for the good. What a way to start. What I'm trying to say is, welcome back to this podcast. Welcome my good friend, Matt Emmert.
Hi, Tim.
How you doing, Matt?
Well, I was trying to keep a straight face when you said the world has changed for the better, considering we're doing this virtually for the first time ever.
I'd say that
maybe the world has changed in terms of forcing older people to learn technology.
Well, that's me.
Yeah, exactly. Forcing to. By the way, for everyone listening, again, we have a huge audience.
Huge.
Tim, I think you only downloaded Zoom because I had asked you. So it's been how long since we did the last one? 6 months?
March 8th.
So, which is funny because that's like a week before the COVID mess started. But Tim's birthday was in April and we did a Zoom, like a mass call and surprised him with everyone.
I was totally surprised too.
But the story wasn't even about that. It was about that you hadn't even, I think that was the first time you'd ever used Zoom.
It was. And you could tell.
And now we're virtually doing, well, anyway, yeah, that's what the world has become. Yeah, it's been a crazy 6 months, but the thing is it's been a crazy 6 months for everybody, like in the world. Well, mostly our country, because
our country
handled this the worst.
If we have to grade it right now, maybe
I'd get F.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, and I know you don't want to turn us into a COVID-19 discussion, but I will say this, like in March, April, we were doing not so good, but
it was supposed to be done by Easter,
right? According to the president.
Yeah.
It's now the end of July. It's worse than it's ever been.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone who says it's a second wave, we never finished the first wave. So, we're probably in this for the rest of the year. All movie releases have been pushed. It's funny, usually Tim and I just don't do this for a while because we just forget to, but there really haven't been that many new movies out. It's all on-demand stuff.
But we found some good ones.
We did find some good ones. You want to start?
Do you want to start? Is there anything before we get started? Let's just jump right in.
Let's just jump right. We're going to try. But there have been some worthwhile, like, VOD releases.
Which I think, to be honest, I ignored. I used to. I need it on a big screen. I need popcorn. I need Sour Patch Kids and a Coke.
I like to, especially with horror, I want to hear the fear in people's voices. I want to hear the person who's like, oh, don't go in there. Or I want to hear the person who screams like when it's not scary. Like those are all the things I love about it.
I know. Do you remember the last movie you saw before?
Yeah, it was the week before it started. The Hunt, which we hadn't.
I saw that with you.
Yeah, I saw with you.
Did
that
we talk
was the
about
last
The Hunt?
Movie.
I
don't know, but that shit's old news now.
I know. Hillary Swank, like her.
They say Hillary Clinton. Those emails.
Benghazi.
Oh my God. the Hunt was good. No, I think we talked about it, didn't we?
I do not even remember.
Oh my God. Do you remember what else came out? It feels like a year ago. Fantasy Island.
We talked about that.
That was this year.
Yeah.
Because
we only had 2.5 months of cinema before everything shut down.
I'm sure everyone listening feels the same, that January and February feel like it was years ago. Because it feels like we've just been in the pandemic state of mind. So the idea that, oh my God, like The Turning, those movies came out this year too.
Ooh, that was so bad.
Wow, rough. But there is a couple movies we're going to talk about that aren't as bad.
Right, that is true. The first one is Relic, and not to be confused with the Penelope Ann Miller 1996 film, The Relic. This is just called Relic. Right?
Is this one called just Relic?
I think it's just called Relic from 2020.
Relic, and this Relic was released streaming, maybe 2 months ago, a month ago?
July, no, just this month.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Starring Emily Mortimer from Scream 3.
Yeah, brilliant actress.
I mean, you have to remember her playing the person who played Sydney.
What was her name when it was
Angelina?
Oh, that's right, as in Jolie.
I always thought she was, first off, in Scream 3, she was so skinny. I'll never forget that scene when she's, after the house blew up, and she's like waddling down, and she looks like she weighs 7 pounds.
That was an acting choice. I don't know. I don't know what that choice was.
She did get one of the best lines of the film, which was, I did not fuck that pig Milton to die here with second-rate celebrities like you two.
And she was talking to Courtney Cox and Parker Posey.
That's true. That's my second favorite line in the movie. My first is, a new movie? Yeah, it's called Sarah Gets Skewered Like a Fucking Pig.
Oh, my that first. Was a good line. My favorite line...
My favorite line was, good job.
No. I've gone blank on Scream 3.
How have you gone blank on Scream 3?
You know what? It's 20 years
Parker
old.
You love Parker
I
Posey.
I do love Parker Posey. My favorite line is probably, not Sydney, Sydney, Sydney.
Oh, about Parker Posey line. Yeah. That was worth it. Anyway, Relic, who else? Do we know the other stars?
Oh, yes. First off, fun fact, it was directed by Erica James, and she only directed shorts, so this is her first feature. And other fun fact is, there was another fun fact.
Well, it I sounds guess that's fun. It. It's not so fun when you
that's
can't
it.
Remember it.
You know what?
No, so here's the thing. Like, I don't know about what hype you had heard about it, but I had heard, my sister had told me, oh my God, it's really, really good. But I also heard it was sort of, it was sort of slow and more like one of those Hereditary midsummer type horror movies. So I went into it knowing it was going to not be your normal type movie. But, well, I guess, should we get the little plot?
Yeah, go for it. Remember, we spoil everything. Yeah. So you could tell me the beginning. You could tell me the middle. You could tell me the end. You could tell me the whole thing.
I guess there's not like a big setup. It's just there's a woman, Emily Mortimer, and her daughter who have heard that they're... Emily Mortimer's mom, the daughter's grandmother.
And that's the only cast. Oh, and the neighbor.
Yeah. They heard that the grandma disappeared for a while, and they don't know why, and they're worried she's unwell. She lives by herself. So they go to her, like, old home to investigate, and she randomly, after, like, 4 days, shows up, and there's just all these weird things going on, and I guess that would be the setup.
Yeah, that's the whole setup. But, I mean, like... what did you think of Emily Mortimer's daughter?
So I feel like we should say overall what we think and then go into the details because you go first. Overall.
Well, overall, I thought it was... I say the same thing every 5 months when we do this. But I really think, and this is so cliche of me to say, but I really think it's beautifully shot.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the score was
that,
eerie.
Yeah.
I know. It has all the tropes, as they say, for a horror film. So I liked that. But the only thing going on is, well, first off, there's a lack of communication between the three women, the grandma and the mom and the daughter. And I just wish, like, the daughter, like, didn't the grandma slap her at one point?
Well,
she snapped at her?
I feel like, so, just set up what is even going on for people who
haven't
seen
it. What is going on? You have to tell me.
So you first think, okay... It starts by kind of painting the picture of something supernatural going on.
Which I don't like.
You hear sounds in the walls. You see shadows. The very opening scene, you see a shadow figure. So you think it's either alien or supernatural. So when the grandmother just appears back out of nowhere, you're like, was she abducted? Is she crazy? So you're watching it, and it's creeping you out with, like, weird shadows and supernatural stuff. So I'm prepared for that. It gets then to the end, which just blows all that away, and then I'm trying to think since we're going to spoil it. I don't know why I always feel guilty even though we tell people we're going to spoil it.
How do you
describe the ending? The grandmother, basically, they see... The grandmother...
Then you see the grandma's butt, right?
Well, yeah, you definitely
which
see the grandma.
Which I don't want to see.
The grandmother... like, sheds her skin to show that she was just a shell of herself, and the shadowy figure exists beneath her skin, which meant that she really was suffering from dementia and really was only a shell of herself the entire time. So basically, if that probably makes no sense, the whole movie is like a weird, creepy metaphor for dementia, which if you take too seriously is really depressing.
No, my gosh, that's the last 5 minutes were so depressing. Because, like, ugh, this podcast is going to get real sad.
So you're watching the whole time thinking, what's supernatural with it? And then at the end, it was nothing supernatural. It was all symbolism for, like, the shadowy figure and something was like a shell. The grandmother was suffering from dementia. And when she shed her skin, it was just symbolizing that she had, like, shed herself and was down to just the shell of her former self, which is so fucking depressing. Well,
first off, that whole scene, like, there's the scenes prior to that where the grandma's just, like, shedding her skin and, like, the skin's peeling. It's kind of like, remember the TV show V? When they used to, like, tear their skin off?
Yes.
That's what it reminded me of, like, big time. Mm-hmm. But when the grandma just suddenly started stabbing her face with scissors...
Oh, yes, yes.
That it gets up.
But there's a part before that is unveiled where the granddaughter gets, like, stuck in the walls of it. And that's when I actually thought, okay, there is something haunting the house.
Yeah.
She's stuck in that's living in the walls. Remind me of the boy.
Yes.
Because I was like, the boy? Because suddenly I talk like this. No, they remind me of the boy. I don't know why I started talking like that. Because she's stuck in the halls and you think she's being chased by something. But again...
That's the daughter, right?
Yeah, the granddaughter.
The granddaughter. Yeah.
But the whole payoff is that no supernatural, no aliens, all symbolism for dementia.
But how is that not supernatural?
I mean, I guess in a way it's supernatural if you're looking at it like, obviously... no person sheds their skin into this, but I guess I'm looking at it like the film was symbol. Like, you can't really believe that they're really watching the grandma remove her skin. Like, I'm thinking right. it's all symbolism. I don't know. I feel like nobody's going to want to watch it after listening.
Well, first off, that's the thing. Like, as I was watching it, I was like, this is a movie I'll see once.
Oh, 100%.
Like, I think a sign of a good movie is when you want to see it again and again and again.
Yeah. I mean, it depends though. Like, Schindler's List was great. I don't think I want to see it again.
I do. Every night before
every
bed.
Every night. It just totally
every
gets
night.
Me in the mood.
I'm like, reminder.
Well, I will say this. Like, so my sister and my mom are huge horror fans. My sister told me about it. When I told my mom that it wasn't supernatural and that it had anything to do with dementia, she didn't want to see it. You know, my mom's 73. Obviously, I don't think, you know, you want to see a movie about things that can happen to old people. So she lost all interest in that. But I don't want to dissuade people not to see it because
it's good movie making. It's
artfully done.
Yeah.
It's just, it's not... a traditional supernatural or alien movie. It's just more artsy, I guess, than that.
I mean, I guess when you have, like, Emily Mortimer from Scream 3, I'm not saying, like, she's a scream queen, but, like, you're thinking, oh, okay, like, I think with the poster of, like, it looks eerie, it looks kind of like, I want to say Cape Fear. I don't know why.
Really?
I didn't know what to expect.
When I saw, was there a trailer? I feel like I just remember thinking it was going to be supernatural. I was like, okay, it's about an old woman. There's probably something that happened in the house and it's haunting her. And for the most of the movie, I really did think that's what it is because they fool you by showing a shadowy figure. But again, the shadowy figure really is a part of her. I know for people who don't want any sort of deep connection like that, you're not going to like this. For people who like movies like probably like The Witch and like the slower, more like
drawn out,
like people who like Hansel and Gretel are going to love this.
Oh yeah. It's a symbolic movie.
It's artfully done. It's beautifully shot.
Good score. All that. All the performances are good. I don't think anyone's, you know, but here's the thing. Like the grandma she snaps at the daughter, the granddaughter.
But isn't that when she's forgetting who she is?
Yeah. But still, she's like, Grandma, I'm going to live with you. And she's like, nah. Like, I can't remember the exact dialogue, but like, she should have told her mom that. But instead, none of the three ladies are communicating.
I mean, I guess you could say from that is that there's some problems in the relationships between, like, there was more conflict between Emily Mortimer and the grandma, her mom and daughter, than there was between the granddaughter and the grandma, which is why I think she didn't tell her mom, and she wanted to live with the grandma because the mom would say absolutely not.
Well, there's one scene where Emily Mortimer follows, her name in the movie is Kay.
I know, we need to say better. There's grandmother, there's the mother who's Emily Mortimer, and there's the granddaughter. So, I love that we know nobody's name but Emily Mortimer.
Well, her name, Emily Mortimer's name in the movie is, hang on, I wrote it down.
It's hang on.
Oh no, oh frig. Okay, Emily Mortimer's name is Kay.
Kay, like the
And her
K.
daughter's name is Sam.
What's the grandmother's name?
You know what? It just says on the it says old lady.
Old lady. Her name's old lady.
So old lady Emily Mortimer.
Oh, God.
They have that scene where they run out into the woods and, like, it's very comforting and, like, she's holding, like, a photo album and she's burying the photo album.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that scene was really good and I forgot that the whole supernatural element was in it.
What did you think was going on?
Just thought, I was like, oh, okay. Like it's a manifestation of dementia, which that's the kind of movies I love.
Nothing like a good old Alzheimer's horror movie. No, I think that was good though to show, like, definitely there were clues that she had some sort of dementia, but the way they shot a lot of the scenes, you also thought there was something else going on in the house. Like,
yes,
because it's not just a grandmother who hears the crazy. That's why when it was just the grandmother and crazy stuff was happening to her, I was like, okay, maybe she's messed up or something's wrong. But when you found out that the granddaughter was seeing stuff and it was in the walls and scared, I was like, okay, something happened in the house, you know?
Just wish, like, it was even just more old school and just like, it's grandpa.
You know, I don't know. There weren't a lot of men or male characters.
No, there was the neighbor who apparently was locked in the closet.
Because the grandmother had forgotten about him. That Which was another is terrible. Dimension. Yeah, I mean, it's a depressing movie. Again, like Tim said, it's not a movie you're going to be like every Halloween, let's pop in at Relic, you know?
Yeah, let's watch that movie about dementia.
Yeah, it's definitely not one of those movies. It's definitely a one-timer. I think if people like more artsy horror movies, they're going to like this one. If you're looking for like a fun supernatural movie, this is not it.
Yeah, not at all. So moving on to a more fun movie. Unless you have anything else you want to say about
that. No, I think I'm all relicked out.
Me too, I'm relicked out. Oh, you know what? Did you like the 1996 one with Penelope Ann Miller?
You know, I don't even think I've seen it. What's it about?
It's dark. Like, you know movies like, you know, we were just talking about the other day, Prom Night was filmed so dark.
Uh-huh.
Penelope Ann Miller works at a museum and there's like an alien in the museum. Like, I don't think it's an alien. It's like a relic. Oh, it's a relic.
It's a relic. But then, and then she realized she was just suffering from dementia.
Right. And then she's like, where's my daughter? Where's my mother?
And I'm going to lock someone in a room for two days. Mm-hmm. Okay, good, good. Yeah. No, that actually sounds probably more interesting.
No, I remember it was like the relic in 1996 came out like maybe a month after Scream. So I was like, ooh, like another horror movie.
But Scream came out in December of 1996, Tim. And there's only 12
right.
months.
Well, it came out. Okay. Maybe January 1997.
Oh.
So, you know, wait, someone can fact check me.
I know. I feel like I just totally fact checked you, even though I know I've been wrong on 9 out of 10 things that I've said about everything in this. But
it's fine.
But I have not seen Relic 1996, but I think I want to now.
I think it's actually Relic 1997.
Oh, The Relic.
The Relic. Yeah.
The Relic. Ugh. So let's move on to
Good Boy.
So Tim and I decided, since there's a lack of new movies coming out to, and I think we've talked about a few of these before, but if you have Hulu, they have Into the Dark, which is a monthly anthology of horror movies where every month they release a new feature-length horror movie that's about something like a holiday or something that takes place that month. So, you know, like the first month they had it was October, and obviously it was related to Halloween, and in November was Thanksgiving, but they now are on the second year and they're trying to be more creative with like the holidays. It's like Arbor Day horror movie or like Father's Day. So this month, or it was last month, actually, what did that have to do with June?
Good question.
The movie's called Good Boy, and it's about a woman who gets a dog who starts killing people. And I'm wondering, what holiday in June? Is there like a Dog's Day in June?
I'm sure there's like National Adopt-a-Dog Day.
I didn't even think about that. But I mean, what holiday?
Stars Judy Greer.
From?
13 Going on 30.
No, from?
27 Dresses.
From?
Halloween.
From Halloween 2018, Halloween Kills 2021.
Oh, I know.
Halloween, yeah. Well, we don't know if she makes it to Halloween Ends, but yes,
starring
Judy Greer. You wanna lay out the plot?
Sure, sure. She's going, her job is like most jobs are now, like all getting cut. Mm-hmm. And hers is on the verge because I think it's like a newspaper with actual paper and they're going virtual. So she's not really in need. So she decides to spend her time, since she doesn't have a boyfriend, to get a dog, right?
Yeah, I think at the beginning she gets laid off from her job.
And her boss is played by that sexy Police Academy star, Steve Guttenberg.
I mean, you know, thank God he got a new paycheck. Let's say that. Was he in last?
I don't know. But
Three Men and a Little Lady.
I did a little research on Steve Guttenberg. Yeah, that's right.
He took a 20-year acting break.
No, his last million-dollar paycheck was in 1990.
He took a 30-year break.
He took a 30-year break. No, but he's still sexy. Okay.
Oh, he can still be sexy. He can be poor and sexy.
No, I don't know what that means because I'm rich and sexy.
He does. He did look good for how old was he? He's got to be in his 60s.
Yeah. I mean...
Yeah. So he plays her boss, but right. then...
He recommends getting the dog. She goes out and gets the dog and is a good boy.
And he's this... let me just paint a picture of this movie. Like, the thing with these Into the Dark movies is some of them are serious. Some of them are more like comedic horror. This one is definitely a little bit of comedic horror
because
the dog... This isn't like Cujo, which was like meant
to be
scary.
They don't even show the dog.
The dog is like little until the end when it became like cartoonish. The dog is little and basically it's a stress relief dog emotional support.
Yeah.
So she's using him as an emotional support dog, and that's actually the only way she can have him in her apartment because her landlord is played by
the Running Man star
Maria Conchita Alonso.
Good job, Matt. That's a tongue twister for sure.
I just was saying that name. Maria
Say it again.
Conchita Alonso.
Say it 5 times fast.
Maria Conchita Alonso, Maria Conchita Alonso, Maria Conchita Alonso, Maria Conchita Alonso, Maria Conchita Alonso.
You know what? I love that you did that.
Oh, I love doing that. She plays her landlord, and she's really good in it. Another person who needed a paycheck because where's she been?
Running for that money.
So the random starts, but she gets this dog, and she starts to realize, like, people that she has a problem with, or
like
that
anyone in the movie that goes like grr, like to her or the dog.
The dog ends up killing. But at the beginning, you don't really see, like, first the person will just end up dead. And she's like, that's weird. And then it starts to get where it's obvious that the dog has murdered the person.
But she kind of helps the dog. Like, after they die, she's like, oh, shit.
She starts covering up and it gets ridiculous. Like Tim said, anybody who there's any problem and the dog thinks it's bothering her kills her. So she can't, like, date anyone and have even an argument or anything. But the way they handle, especially at the end, like...
The movie goes off the rails.
It definitely goes off the rails. First off, the little dog, they can't show it killing people because there's not enough CGI for that. So what they do is at the end, they show it, like, transforms into this, like, Hulk-like beast, which is so cartoonish.
But I think that's the tone of it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it wasn't trying to be... They definitely weren't playing it, like, for scares.
No, 100%. I remember you... So what did you think?
I liked it. I will say, if you're going to sit down and you want to have fun with your friends watching a movie... watch Good Boy.
Well, you ain't gonna be sitting down with friends doing shit for the next.
Well,
few
you
months.
Know what I'm saying. Yeah. Oh my God, I forgot about that. I mean, if you want to sit down virtually,
Yes, because I thought it was ridiculous. Like, I mean, I didn't not like it. But I didn't like it. Like, it just like I guess when it's so ridiculous, I was glad Judy Greer was in it. She
Me
was
too.
Good.
I thought she was really likable and.
She's always likable.
I like the simplicity of the story. Like, woman gets dog kills people. The end. Like, I don't like dementia. Like, I don't
know. It's literally polar opposites from Relic because it's not serious at all. I mean, it depends what you're looking for. If you're not looking for a serious horror movie, you're looking to kind of laugh but enjoy weird over-the-top movie.
I think all horror films should... Like, wink, wink, nudge, nudge at the audience a little bit. Like, the Relic gave us... It was just...
Too serious. Well, but that's why I think movies like Scream or other movies that mix a little bit of comedic relief with, like, actual scares are the best. Because if you're all comedy, well, then that's just a joke. And if you're all serious, it's just still good. But, like, you can't sleep for weeks afterwards.
That's true. I mean, I guess it left me with an eerie feeling at the end of the night.
Good boy.
Good boy. Because I walk dogs.
No, I mean, it's like, that's what, there's nothing eerie. Like, the thing, to me, the test of a real horror movie is if it makes you a little scared afterwards, if you can imagine it happening to you. Yeah. Nobody's going to watch Good Boy and be like, oh my God, what if I get a dog that can transform into a Hulk beast and kills people?
Well, I think that every day.
I mean, the thing about Cujo that I think made that believable.
I love Cujo.
Yeah, the thing that made that believable is that Dogs can get rabies.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if they get to the point where
the
they kill people.
The kind of dog in Cujo...
is huge.
It's huge, but I think it's a St. Bernard.
Yeah.
Those generally are not attack dogs.
They're not, but rabies does make you go insane. So, again, I don't think I've heard of dogs getting rabies that have murdered people. I've heard of dogs getting rabies that just are going insane.
Have you watched Cujo lately?
Little bits.
Like the first hour is a soap opera. I mean, like, it's a love triangle.
With D. Wallace Stone?
Yeah, and like there's two guys, and like she's trying to like balance
it.
You know, because that's always successful.
And isn't the kid from Who's the Boss?
Danny Pinturo.
Oh my God.
But that's at least. Who came out in 1997? Fun fact.
Didn't he come out after he was forced out because a tabloid story came out?
Yeah, I mean, it was a different time. It was the 90s.
That sucks though, because it's like. Yeah, for let's change the subject. Let's talk about tabloids forcing celebrities out. Just kidding. But what I was trying to say with bringing Cujo up is that at least like you can watch it and you're not going to be scared of dogs after. But there's a thought that it's like, wow, if I see a crazy dog foaming at the mouth, like that's a reality. Dogs could get rabies. It's rare, but still, this like was just, you know, it was over the top. It was fun though. It wasn't Into the Dark's worst movies. We've seen worse.
Oh yeah, there was that one about like I can't even remember the title.
Was it? Was it?
It was
the
like.
New
Green?
No,
the New Year's one was good.
Oh, with the women was good. The Midnight Kiss. I'm talking about New Year, New You, the year before with the four women. He has the sleepover, and there's the woman who's a social media influencer.
Oh no, I like that one.
I know, I like that one too.
The one that was the St. Patrick's Day one. I did not care for.
What was that one about?
They all were at this pub, and there was like green lights.
Oh, the ridiculous.
I couldn't even tell you the name of it.
There was also one that was almost like a weird pop star. Like stealing identity ones, which wasn't that good either. Look, I will say this. I'll take comedy that knows it's comedy over a horror movie that thinks it's serious but is a total joke.
Or I don't like movies that are horror movies that tries to be funny and it falls flat.
Yes, yes. This at least was like, there had some funny, like, here's the thing. When I first finished watching this, I do admit part of me was like, how did they get Judy Greer for this? Then I remembered she's in the Halloween franchise, which is Blumhouse. Blumhouse works with her, so they're probably like, hey, let's sign a deal where we'll get you for one of our films. But with that said, I'm sure she read the script and probably laughed, you know?
No, I love Judy Greer and Carrie.
Oh, the
Halloween. And she did something else.
She did the Carrie remake, another horror movie, you mean?
Yeah, did she do one more horror film?
She did Jurassic Park.
Must make mad residuals from those Jurassic Park.
The thing is,
Park
she's
movies.
Never until Halloween, where I guess she wasn't the main character because that was Jamie Lee Curtis, but she's like a lot bigger than she was in like Carrie or Jurassic Park. Like she's integral to Halloween because she's Laurie Strode's daughter.
She's got a huge, she's like the one adult in the movie. Oh, I take that back. Julianne Moore in Carrie.
Yeah, oh yeah, she's a bit. But no, you're right. She's the teacher, and that was a big role. But not in Jurassic Park. Remember, she like sends her kids away to the park and then picks them up.
She was in the beginning?
Picks them up at the end. Yeah, how did they sell that to her? Do you think they were like, oh my God, Judy, we got you a part in Jurassic Park? What?
She's like,
you're in the beginning and the end.
And you get to go to Hawaii. She got to go to Hawaii.
Well, it's just funny because Jurassic Park's so huge, I'm sure any actor would have taken any part.
They asked me, but I turned it down.
It's true. Tim was like, no.
I was like, I've got dogs to walk. Like, I've got,
put me in Good Boy. Right. But anyway, so here's the thing, though, and I think I know your answer to this. If you had to watch Good Boy or Relic again, well, I know the answer to that. Which
you don't,
one would you
Relic.
Watch again? No, I know. The truth is, even though I think I liked Relic better than Good Boy, I'd watch Good Boy again because Relic, it's so serious that again, it's
can
a one-timer.
Can I read you the tagline for Relic?
Is it called Want to Be Depressed? Watch
Let me read. A daughter, mother, and grandmother are haunted by a manifestation of dementia that consumes their family home.
Well, anything you read like that is going to put me to sleep, but I mean, if you had the synopsis for a Good Boy? A woman gets an emotional support dog and kills people. No, right. It's definitely, it's like the two most different movies you could choose to watch. But one of them is free on Hulu, and Relic, how much do you have to pay for Relic?
Oh, I thought it was like $4.99, $5.99.
Yeah, at least it wasn't like the movies, like the wide release movies that are charging $20. Oh,
What was that? Invisible Man cost $19.99.
That's what we talked about last time.
Yeah.
Because I remember that I loved that movie, remember?
Oh,
Invisible
my gosh.
Man, talk about a movie. Yeah, and we don't have to re-talk about it, but I guess it just feels like
movie.
So long ago.
I did we talk when the world was shutting down?
It was like a week before. It was like a week. Oh, it was like a week before because it was March. Yeah, it was. We saw The Hunt mid-March.
And then they already put it out on, like, because theaters were
like
shutting
down. Like
a week
later, because wow. Theaters were like the first thing to shut. And I will say this for all you listeners, like, my prediction, I truthfully think all 2020 new releases are going to be pushed. I know
me
that
too.
Sounds like, no way.
Except for Top Gun 2.
I don't think, except for, no, even Bill and Ted's already said Bill and Ted Part 3 is going to be a video on demand. I think
it's going to be on video on demand?
It is, I read, at the end of August. I think that any movie that wants to come out this year is either going to do a on-demand release or push to 2021.
I have no idea why I had such a reaction to a Keanu Reeves movie.
Keanu?
I have a question for you. Do you know, and then we can wrap this up. Do you know the co-star? Who's Bill? Which one's Ted?
Okay, so Ted is Keanu Reeves. Bill is, wait, I know his name because I've always asked this question because he was in Lost Boys. Wait, Bill is, I saw a trailer for it.
His last name's Winter, right?
Oh, Alex Winter.
It's Alex?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's Alex Trebek.
Alex Trebek?
Oh my God. But you know what we do to finish things off? Yes. We're going to do a shorter episode. We do have to acknowledge that a horror icon passed away yesterday. John Saxon.
Yes, RIP to John Saxon of Nightmare on Elm Street. And
1, Nightmare on Elm Street. 3, Wes Craven's New Nightmare, Black Christmas. A huge amount of other movies, but of course we know him from
those.
And
you know what? He was a handsome guy.
He was a handsome guy, but like I think it was just, I was just talking with Jacob about this. So my boyfriend and I were very recently,
you know what,
watching.
Stop bragging. Stop it.
I just really don't know who the hell is Jacob. We were just watching the commentary of Nightmare on Elm Street. I had never seen it with Wes Craven, Heather Langenkamp, and John Saxon. Oh. And I always do this when you watch an old horror movie, like check which of the actors is still alive. And I literally, this is like a week ago, said to him, oh my God, John Saxon's alive. That's so cool because I'm always happy when older stars are still alive. And then a week later, he's dead.
Isn't that like, crazy?
Well, it's just because I knew he was old, so there's a part of me that thought he could have already died. So I was so happy. It's just ironic because I was like just talking about how happy I was that he was alive. But and he was only 83, and that's not that old.
It really wasn't.
Like, yeah.
I mean, I'm 70.
No, not how much what you act.
Oh shit! I know. I'm challenged with electronics. Zoom.
I will say, well, it is funny though because everyone knows that their parents cannot figure out Zoom, and just Tim acts with Zoom like everyone's parents would.
You know what? On that note, thank you so much.
Wait. What about our listeners who are Gen Z listeners?
I'm looking now at the results. It says we have 55 million Gen Z listeners.
Wow. I don't know if there's 55 million Gen Z people in the world. But sure.
These facts are wrong,
they
I guess.
They love Happy Horror Time.
They do. Right. Thank you so much for listening to Happy Horror Time, and we'll be back very soon with more.
This virtual thing is easier to do, so we may do it more often.
All right. Thank you so much. Stay healthy and stay safe.
And stay sexy and don't get... Oh, wait. Wrong podcast. Copyright infringement.
Okay. Stay safe. Stay healthy. Eat Kit Kats before bed.
And watch horror and spoil everything.
Yes. Bye.
Bye.